Bo, would you pray quick for the Sunday school? Amen. This morning we're going to be looking at the parable of the seed and the sower out of Matthew 13. See if you turn there. And I'm struggling to get the whole verse. And with it, the memory verse for this morning is, "He that receiveth seed unto good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit." And then it says, "And bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30." Okay, and so the different lessons from that, again, the seed is what? It's the Word of God. What does the ground represent? Where the seed is received. That's why you have in the parable, we have it falls on the wayside, hard ground, and we're going to look at that. And then you have stony ground. Then you have ground where the thorns come up and choke it, and then you have good ground. And so we're going to be seeing different things with that. So the various soils represent the different heart conditions of people. It shows their different responses to it. Seed has life within itself, and it needs water, soil, and sunlight. Okay, and so you have the being washing by water of the Word. The Word of God is compared unto like water. The ground is the heart of the believer. And what would sunlight be? Light from the sun, okay? See, and so what you have with that, okay? And so, you know, 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And let me see. The word of God is quick. That doesn't mean fast. It's an old English word. It means where the life is. It's like cutting your fingernail to the quick. That's the living part. The end of your fingernail is dead. Okay? The part that's continuing to grow is in the very part of the fingernail where it starts. That's your quick. When you cut it to the quick, you rip it open. How many ever tore that thing open right to the quick? It hurts worse than a broken leg at first. You know, that burns and throbs and just, it won't stop, okay? That's because that's where your life is and something's interfering with the life of that fingernail. I just want you to get the picture of this, okay? So, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but everything is open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So you have the living word of God and the written word of God, and you can't understand the living word of God outside of the written word of God. So many people, you know, I had a conversation with somebody and the difference between a Bible-believing teaching church and a lot of the contemporary churches. And people sometimes say, well, your music is old-fashioned. Yes, it is. Okay? And I don't have any problem with a lot of modern songs that give glory to God and are scriptural-based. Okay? That's not the issue. But many times a church will build up, they call it the worship service, and then the word. The whole service is worship. In a church that spends so much time trying to, you know, you ever been touched by a song, a Christian song, a spiritual song? It spoke to your heart. It brought about a reaction in you. That's not a wrong thing, but it's not the right thing if it's not based on what God says. Okay? And so people will go, well, you know, I just, the music moves me so much. Okay, that's your soul. You got to have your spirit fed to be able to grow. Good morning, beautiful. John says good morning when I said that. Okay. No. Yeah. So what I want you to understand with that is I'm not trying to say they got it wrong, because they can have, if there's great preaching there, but what it comes down to, if the music is what moves you, then that's an emotional, soulish response. The Word of God should deal with your spirit, your soul, and causes a different response in your flesh. You notice how like people don't like strong preaching? It goes against them. That just, you know, okay. Well, guess what? That's because that's the part that makes the changes. It doesn't say faith cometh by a good song. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the point made. I'll tell you right now, you can ask my wife, we love Christmas music. Anything that's related to that, secular Christian music, if that bothers you, take it up with my wife. Okay? I love Christmas carols. I love when we sing them here. But I like, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Okay? And what does it do? It brings about memories within my soul, who I am. Okay? Because when I watch, I picked on my sons. AJ came in and Michael was there at one point. I listened to them go back and forth at each other, and I looked at them. And of course, you know what this is, and I don't care if you don't like it. This is part of what I'm doing. I sat there and I went, sisters, sisters, because they're acting like sisters. Okay? You say, okay, what does that have to do with this? That's all fine and good, okay? And you can enjoy that. But the message of Christmas is for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his, okay? And in the series that pastor is preaching on, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Amen? And so that's what people need to hear with this. But the Word of God is the seed. Your heart is the ground. And that's the thing we're going to see in this application of this lesson. And, you know, it's one of those things where everyone is responsible how they receive the Word of God. You hear it with your ears. Okay, that's the message of God. Okay, so the ear has no greater purpose than to hear the message of God. Faith cometh by, and hearing by the Word of God. And the heart has no greater purpose than to believe the message of God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You still with me? So, you know, we have to be careful how we hear and how we prepare our hearts. You ever notice if you come in and it's been a rough morning and the kids didn't get dressed right, or this happened, or turn around and... We didn't have time for it this morning. I was dealing with someone on the phone, and my wife, she turns around, because she'll ask, honey, what would you like? And on Sunday morning, it doesn't, during the week, she can fix me eggs, she may make me a protein drink, whatever it is. Didn't have time for it. But if you ever turned around and you're trying to do something, and all of a sudden, you know, if you're a guy and there's not the breakfast there when you thought you should have it, or the bacon's not cooked the way you like it, or the toast is not done enough, or the toast is done too much, or there's not enough butter on the toast, and you turn around and in your mind, see, I'm talking from a guy's perspective, not looking at the ideal of, they just went out of their way to try to prepare something for me and to appreciate what they did do. It'd be like, should have waited for me, my toast is cold. And then you have this in the background, and then you head off to church. And it's like, speak to me, Lord, I dare you. Do you get the message, guys? Okay. Of course, ladies are so perfect, they never have anything like that. All right? It's not like, oh, he didn't appreciate me fixing his breakfast. If he thinks it's burnt now, wait till the next time I fix it for him. Okay. You get in the car. My daughter, Heather, is now 41. We'll be 41. Okay, she's 40. We used to dress her up in all these little nice dresses, and they try to get the boys in their little suit and their clothing and stuff, and have Heather go outside and fall into a mud puddle as you're going to drive to church. And so you're rushing around because you want her to look right. You want to, oh, look at our little beautiful girl. Okay? And now something's happening that I abhor, and that is being late. It drives me crazy to be late. It drives me crazy to wait for someone else who's late. And then I have to have a good attitude and say, Lord, I'm ready to receive the seed of the Word of God. Because you know what we let happen? We let things around us steal from us what's important. When we're supposed to have our hearts in a place where it can be good ground. You with me? Okay. So the background of the lesson is, it's a story, it's a parable. Okay? So we'll go to Matthew 13. You with me? Matthew 13. In verse 1, the same day Jesus out of the house and sat by the seashore or seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship so he could get out in front of them. They could all be directed towards him. And the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in what? Saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Many of the stories in the Word of God are not parables. They're true events. The rich man in hell is not a parable. It's a true event. Okay? But it says he spake to them in parables. And he says, and he spake many things in verse 3 in the parable, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. A parable is a story with which you use something familiar to explain something that is unfamiliar. It's likened unto this. Okay? Well, this is like this. You know, it used to drive me crazy. It's gotten better, but for about 15 years, it seemed like teenagers could not take the word like out of a sentence. It's like, and you know, like this, and well, like, and it used to drive me crazy, and I'd go, no. It's not like that. It's supposed to have a purpose when you compare, you liken something to something else. It's not a connective. It's not a word used to connect other words together. It's to make comparison and contrast. And he's giving you a parable, and he says, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. The wayside. They didn't necessarily have every place paved roads, but they had been walked, the pathways had been walked so much, whether it by people or by oxen or by sheep or kine or whatever it was. Kine is another name for the cattle. Whatever had come, it got beaten down, packed down, so it was hard. Okay, now I've got a question. What happens when you throw seed on hard, packed ground? Nothing. All right, it can't penetrate. Now, if it rains, rain softens up hard ground, right? You know how some of you maybe don't have a paved driveway? Okay. You got a gravel driveway, and it's really good in the wintertime. It's hard and stuff like this, and it's hard in the summer when the sun beats down on it. But in the spring and the fall, especially this fall with the rain we have, what happens? It's mud, okay? You got the things. But a hard-packed pathway, that's the wayside, okay? And they used to walk between properties. They didn't necessarily have stone fence. My property's full of stone fences. And those were used as property lines when it was surveyed. Broke up the fields. Okay, well, pathways, the wayside, is what is packed down and on the edges of the wayside. Okay, you ever notice that type of thing where things seem to run off the crown to the sides and it can build up? Well, the wayside is where it can't penetrate. And you know what happens? Crows come. Blackbirds. And you know what they will do? They will eat all the seed. They'll move in. I like to have good places for the deer to be able to eat on my property. Okay? But I have to be careful so I obey the laws of New York State. So I'm not supposed to put a salt block out there. But boy, I can plant clover and deer radishes and a bunch of other things. And you know, you have to turn the ground over. We did it one year, my hunting partner and I have a place on my property, we call it the magic field. Because there's an apple tree two-thirds of the way on a three-quarter acre lot. And when I keep that mowed down and we keep it seeded, we get clover and those radishes to grow and the apple trees there, deer are killed every year on that property, that little piece. Because they come out of the woods like magic and being drawn to it. But you know what happened? When we turned it over the first time and then you plow it and then you disc it and then you drag it and you get it all ready so it's broken up and it's ready to take seed, but it didn't rain fast enough. The cameras we have out there were showing birds like crazy and they were eating the seed. That's the picture you have here. It's thrown on hard ground. It's not broken up. The seed can't penetrate. There's no water. And you got this problem, okay? And the fowls came and devoured it up. See, birds can easily pick up what was in these pathways. Blackbirds and crows, they eat more seed than almost any other bird, okay? And they'll steal it. What's the explanation to that part? Jump over to verse 18, because we're going to go from 3 to 19 and 4 to other ones down through here because you got the explanation. Verse 18 says, "Not hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." He's explaining it to his disciples. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." Okay, it says the fowls of the air. If you study fowls out when you use sometimes the word of God, they're not doing you a favor. Okay? And the wicked one is who? Satan or one of his other devils. And it's going to steal the seed because there was no penetration of it. You ever said this to... My father said it to me once when he says, "Boy, I tell you something, it goes in one ear and out the other." It didn't take what? Root someplace, okay? So you have that. So you get stolen. And that's a person who hears the word of God. You quote a verse of Scripture and you wonder how come an unsaved person doesn't get it? That's because they don't have the Holy Spirit to help them to understand. They won't get it, okay? And the wicked one is a reference to the devil, okay? Now, to show you what I'm talking about, many times birds are compared to unclean spirits. Revelation 18. When you want to understand something, you compare spiritual things with spiritual, right? You take it and you compare Word of God with the Word of God. "After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having a great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and it's become the habitation of what? And the hold of every what? And the cage of every what?" You get it? They catch it away, okay? Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. There's a warning. You got to be careful. Okay? Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every what? And the what? Which doth so easily? And let us run with? Oh, that's the hard part of that one, isn't it? The race that is set before us, that patience waiting on it. You know what I get in trouble? I drive Judy crazy because I want it and I want it now. I said, you know the reasons it drives me crazy when someone is running late, it just irritates me? It's because, okay, I'm very clear about it. I'm OCD, okay? And the other side of that is I'm anal retentive, okay? Don't understand what that means? Ask me after the service, okay? But that just drives me crazy. You know, that thing with it, and okay, and I want something done. You know, some people, they like to do it a little bit today and then a little bit tomorrow, and maybe they'll wait and do a little bit in a week from now. And they know that it has to be done 6 weeks. So they do a little bit, and they do a little bit, and they do a little bit, and then all of a sudden the pressure comes on, and it's like, boom. I'm one of those people that drives me crazy. You know what it is? I want to do it, and I want it done now. Sometimes you can't do that. That's as much as you turn around and my wife, to keep me sane, we're up until 2 o'clock in the morning to try to finish something through the years. Yeah. Because she knows I can't let it go. So patience isn't my strong suit. Is it yours? It makes for a much more relaxed environment. See, what we want is we want people to have patience with us. What God wants us to do is have what? Patience with others. You still with me? So there's a warning there. Look at Genesis 15. We can turn there in one verse. We'll try to do this. Let me see. Because, one, these birds, they're compared to sometimes evil spirits and devils. They'll try to catch away the word so it never takes root. If it's pulled out beforehand, how many, well, maybe you haven't, but some of you, I know this for a fact. Sue Robinson took a soul-winning class, okay? And I told them, sometimes when you go out two by two, one person gets to do most of the witnessing, the other one runs interference. And I says, because invariably what you will find is you go to talk to somebody about the Word of God and to explain it and give it to them in their heart, and you know what happens? The dog starts barking. Or the kids start fighting. Or the baby wakes up wet and wailing. Or the pot on the stove starts to burn. It just seems like out of nowhere, something does what? Interferes and distracts. And I said, this is what's going to happen. And I can remember the first times. She ran interference, and then pretty soon it was so neat to have her when she had the opportunity to be the one leading someone to the Lord and witnessing to them. Someone else had to run interference, okay? And you say, what is that? Because you're both doing an important part. Because the devil will try to use outside circumstances and events around you to get the word stolen out of the heart of the person you're trying to give it to. Watch it on the street corner. You get a chance to really witness to somebody and someone else comes up or the person they're with is going, we got to go. When someone's really interested and they want to hear, no, I want to hear about this. No, we have to leave now. Are you coming with me or aren't you? That's not an accident. That's part of a spiritual battle. And a spirit's trying to steal the word from them. Genesis 15, verse 11. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram did what? If you read the context of that, it says in verse 9, he said, God saying unto Abram, take me a heifer of 15 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old and a ram 3 years old and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto them all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. But the birds he divided not. But when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And lo, a horrible great darkness fell on him, upon him. And he said unto them, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. The fowls came to steal the sacrifice Abram was making so that he could get an understanding from God. They try to interrupt it. You still with me? You ever think about why people become hard-hearted? The ground becomes the wayside. They become hard-hearted. You ever see somebody who's angry at God that blames God for an event that took place? Had a person that ended up leading to the Lord. They were blaming God. They'd had a horrible life. I'm not trying to diminish that or belittle it. And they were mad. God let them do this to me. It's God's fault. And I looked at that person who was struggling with an addiction, and I said, you want God to allow you to have the free will to choose to do what you want to do. But you don't want God to allow another person to have the free will to do what they want to do. The problem's not what God does. It's what the person does with that free will. And someone's so selfish that they hurt you. And right now you're being so selfish that you're almost in enough trouble that you're going to be removed from your home. You won't be there to raise your children. Because you're choosing to do drugs. Looked right at him and said, what's the definition of insanity? Choosing to do the same thing, expecting a different outcome. And I said, God can help change your life. But the word of God doesn't change. It says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. You can follow what happened in your home, and that's what happens so many times. You repeat the home you were raised in unless you choose to do it God's way. If there's something good in your home that they did, and it follows something good in God's word, continue it. Okay? If it's not of God and it's hurtful, don't what? Don't repeat it. You have to break the chain. That's what God wants to do. Some people blame God for something bad that happened and their heart becomes hardened. They won't want to hear it. They're going to blame God. Sometimes they consider other earthly things to be more important than spiritual things. Take no thought for what ye shall eat or drink or what ye shall put on. For your Father doth know that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. That's the answer for so many people's problems. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as God's way. And it changes things. So they put physical, earthly things more important than spiritual things. They consider God in church to be more of an obligation. I have to do this. My wife gave me a sign. I used it before. I told you. It says, no man was ever shot making the bed or washing the dishes. She's hit me, but she's never shot me. No. Okay. All right? She does things just to please me. All I said the other day was, you know, boy, I can taste a big bowl of spaghetti. One of my favorite meals is spaghetti, meatballs, and sausage. Okay? Maybe that doesn't do anything for you. Maybe yours is a big steak. I don't care what it is. Maybe it's lasagna for you. I don't know. All I did is say that. You know, the next thing I know, I come home, I went over to help my son do stuff, and you know what's been cooked and it's waiting for me? Spaghetti and meatballs and sausage. And I go, honey, thank you. You didn't have to do that. And she goes, yeah, I did. You wanted it. It wasn't done because it was an obligation. It was done because she loves me. My wife generally, right now, because I'm semi-retired, whatever that means, okay, I don't have quite as much responsibility. I don't get up quite as early as I used to. And we have the thing, last one out of bed makes the bed. So I do it all the time. But I like getting up before her, especially on Sundays, I'm up before her. Because I'm going back over my notes and doing this thing. And first thing I do is when I come out of the bedroom, I reach over and I flip that little switch down, it turns blue, on her tea kettle, electric tea kettle. And I know that she doesn't want decaffeinated tea in the morning. She does at night, but not in the morning. And I get the right tea bag out of this big container, and then I put some real cream, because she doesn't want Coffee Mate. She doesn't want any of that stuff. She wants real cream and milk. Put a little of that in with a tiny scoop. Is that stevia or allulose? Stevia. She has a little thing, and she puts just a little bit of that in, and then I make her tea. And she has one cup she does, that's her morning tea cup, and it has a cover, so that's because I'm a slob and I spill everything as I'm walking. And I take it in and I set it down next to her on the bed, on her dresser, a little end table next to the bed. And she looks up at me, she goes, good morning, honey. And I go, where would you like your tea? Is that an obligation? No. It's something done to please the other, because we love them. You will do more sacrifice for love than you ever will for obligation. I'm not trying to remove obligation. It's important to him to know to do good, obligation, and doeth it not, to him it is. But some people look at church as something I have to do it. Men sometimes like a little cheese with their wine. Old saying, and I'm not talking W-I-N-E wine, I'm talking W-H-I. All right, you ready? It's whining. So I turn around with this, and Judy bought me a sign for my office. Okay, because she loves me. And I'd been whining, and the sign says, I have to go to church. I have to go to church. I have to go to church. I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor. That's obligation. What you want to work towards is doing something because of love and not obligation. Don't avoid it because you don't want to do it with love. You don't have the obligation. To obey is better than, that's obligation. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Okay, so we're there. They consider earthly things more important. They consider God and church to be an obligation. Their heart is not seeking truth. Oh, I better come to church because people expect me to. You know, we're a good family, so we all need to go. and we need to line up our kids, or we need to do this or that. Okay, it's an obligation. And you're not saying, oh, I want to go to church because I want God to speak to my heart. And pretty soon you let the devil walk all over your thought life. You don't cast down the imaginations, and the ground becomes hard, and hard as the pavement. Now, verses 5 and 6. I spent a long time on that first one. Matthew 13. Some fell upon the stony places where there's not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had what? No root, and they withered away. When there's too much stone, there's not enough soil, there's not enough nutrient for the seed to grow, it's not protected enough, okay? You know, fallen seed can sprout very quickly and dramatically. But if it doesn't have any root, what will happen to it? It'll die off fast. It'll die off fast. Look at verse 20 and 21 of the same chapter. But he that received the seed into stony places is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is what? They turn away. It's like it seems, well, that Christianity is a really good thing. Oh, I'm excited about it because God's going to bless me. But when they don't sense the blessing, you ever have somebody tell you, you went to witness to them, they said, yeah, I tried that. It didn't work. God didn't protect me. Not saved. No root. You know, you can do a lot of things temporarily for a time, just in your own strength. Some people are more determined and stubborn than others. But there needs to be the root. Revelation 22. We're coming back to Matthew 13. Revelation 22. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the what? In the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. I am the vine, ye are the... You know what a vine is? It's a root that's broken up through the ground and continues to grow upward. No root. They don't truly have Jesus in their heart. They became religious, not redeemed. Do you understand what I'm saying? They stand out. Some that can seem like quick growth. It goes on for a short season, but eventually it ends. Why did it end? They had profession without possession of Jesus Christ. There was a church movement that went around and they tried to get people to pray a prayer. Never dealt with them over a period of time to get them convicted that they were sinners in need of a Savior. Get them to pray the prayer and then say, oh, you prayed and asked Jesus to be your Savior. You're saved now. And then they rush them out and they baptize them the same day. And they never truly got saved. They just said a prayer. I can remember that we used to have the church that went around, they'd go up to the state fair and they have that booth where they'd witness to people and they'd want different churches to come up and do that. And I can remember they sent me a bunch of names and I tried to follow up on the names. And there was four names they gave me. Three of the four said they were pressuring me, so I just did what they told me to do so they'd leave me alone. They weren't saved. They prayed a prayer and the people go, oh, great, another notch on my gun. But they hadn't come to Christ because they didn't know they were a sinner in need of a Savior. They were just offered something to make heaven available to them. See the difference? No root. Profession without possession. So when pressure comes, because you got to take a stand on the Bible, they can't stand the heat. When you have to stand on what God says, okay? You know what the sun here beats down on you upon? That's like persecution because of the word. It dries up any moisture that's there. We're not talking about the sun of righteousness in your raising in your wings, in the wings. We're not talking about that. We're talking about that heat of the day beating down upon you when you have to push through to get the job done. No root. So it's the stony places. There's not enough soil to protect the word and to keep it. Just hearing God's word and then you choosing to change is not salvation. You know what the Bible says? It says, His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the... There was a time when Heather made friends with this woman out in Oregon, Tigard, Oregon. Girl, the woman she made friends with, we met them, they were in their mid-30s. I counseled with them across the country for a while. Woman was the daughter of a pastor. She had prayed to receive Christ as a 5 or 6 year old, as an 11 or 12 year old, as an 18 year old, as a 20 some odd year old. But every time she heard a message on hell, she was afraid. She had been trying to measure up to what she was supposed to be as a Christian. And she'd never truly trusted in Christ to save her soul. When she truly got saved, it transformed her life because then she had security in the truth that she belonged to Jesus and He wasn't going to let her go. I'm going to finish this phrase for me. Performance, Christianity. If you have to perform for it, you're not secure in it. Perfect love casteth out, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. My sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them. No man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is greater than all, no man can pluck them out of my... I and my Father are... The security of that, knowing that, O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in Thee. That assurance. That doesn't mean that sometimes you're a little nervous because you know you've let God down and so you're afraid for the discipline that's going to come. That's a different thing. Our kids knew that if they did certain things, they were going to be in trouble. But you know what they also knew? We loved them and they were always ours. The security of that makes a difference. So you have the stony places. Then you have the thorns. Verse 7. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. It looks good and clean, appearing to be clear of thorns, but under the surface the soil has a chain of roots ready to spring up and choke out the fruit. Verse 22. And he that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh what? That means he was fruitful at one point. That person, I believe, is saved. I'm going to give you an illustration of that. We won't, for the sake of time, we won't turn there. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul's listing those who've pulled away from him. He said, and he goes, and Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. If I took you to Colossians 4:14, at the end of the epistle of Paul to the church at Colossae, you know what you do? You find Demas listed in those that are sending a greeting because they traveled with Paul and they worked with him. So they were in a ministry. He was in a ministry for a sake of time, but something caught his heart. Whether it was the thing of want, whether he's tired of not having stuff because he was serving the Lord, whether it was bitterness because he got hurt by somebody, whatever it is, it says, Demas hath the cares of this world. Many times draw people back. You ever knocked on doors and they say, yeah, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I don't go to church anywhere. I don't believe you need to. Are you witnessing to anybody? Are you telling them about how you got saved? No, my wife is unsaved. What do? Well, I work and I provide for them. Physical provision is not spiritual leadership. They're saved, they started, they had some fruit, and then they draw back because they put their attention on the things of this world and the material needs and not on the things of seek ye first the kingdom of God and His. Do you see it? First John 2. I'll try to do this. I've run too long. I apologize. 1 John 2. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth, dwells with God. Okay? People become unfruitful because of wealth. Riches can produce one to be consumed with gain and self-reliance. I don't need God. I earned it myself. I'm a self-made man. Some of you, if I was a self-made man, boy, I'd make a mess of it. Thorny ground's deceptive. You got to be careful. You know what you have to do when you plant a garden? You have to go back and pull the what? Why? Because if you don't, the weeds will come up and your fruit won't produce right. You leave it, you may get tomatoes, you may get cucumbers, but they're not going to be as many and they're not going to be as big. Okay? I don't care if it's trees. Russ has to, when he's having his apple trees, they got to be trimmed at a certain time. You don't do it during when the fruit is coming on. You do it in the winter when the sap's gone out of that. You turn around and you don't let the weeds grow up so much because it can mess the root system up the tree. It can steal some nutrients. But you don't want it bare ground because the grass helps hold the moisture into the orchard. There's certain things you do with it, okay? You have to prepare it. And that gives us the last one. Matthew 13, 8. But other fell unto good ground and brought forth some fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Verse 23. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. That good ground has been plowed, it's been prepared. Galatians 3. Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our what? To bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. The law convinces you of your sin, prepares the heart to receive the forgiveness and the love of God. It's been broken up, you know. The surface breaks, okay. Plowing the ground to hold water allows the seed to go deeper in the earth. You know, how many times you ever see a package and it says, well, this needs to be about a half inch in. Someone's got to be an inch in. The ground's got to be soft enough so when you push it down in, the seed, it's got to make good contact. And sometimes it's got to be covered. And then it's got to be watered for it to grow. Well, the same thing is true in your spiritual life. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves one with another, and the more so as you see the day approaching. You should be in church. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You need to be in God's word. Pray without ceasing. You need to pray. And the kids learn a song in the nursery so that they can grow, grow, grow. You with me? A person not only heard but understood God's word. Because the seed was received to a prepared heart, it can produce a lot of fruit. Asking God to speak to your heart before you come into a church service. To open it up so you can hear the message. No matter what's going around, Lord, help me to come apart from the troubles I've just been dealing with and to be able to hear what your Holy Spirit wants me to know, what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach me. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. The word planted into a heart that has good ground. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law he doth both day and night. And he shall be as a tree planted by, and what takes place? He brings forth his fruit in due season. Psalm 1. Okay. He's exposed the water of the word and the sun of righteousness. God doesn't want to beat down on your head and burn you. He wants it to be that beauty of a daybreak and something just enough to keep you warm and make you feel comfortable. How much you grow is going to be determined by the amount of fruit. We hold it, God produces it. Amen? Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. That's the good ground. Two were not saved, two are saved. One got pulled away for the cares of the world, and they don't continue to grow. And the other one continues to go forward producing fruit. And all God's people said, take a break.